Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in today. And today we're joined by Erica Biller. Erica, how are you doing today?
Great. Thanks for having me.
And Erica's joining us today to share her testimony. Erica, just start out telling us about where you're from and about how you grew up.
Sure. So I am born and raised in the Shenandoah Valley. Been here my whole life. Love it. Love the mountains. Mm-hmm. Hope to be yes. Coastside one day. but I have a great family. Obviously, my mom and my dad divorced when I was young, but they're still close by too. And I have a sister that I'm really close with. And
yeah. So you grew up in the valley. I wonder, like, did you grow up in church? Was that a part of your life growing up?
Sure. So, yeah, we did. We grew up in church when I was young. We went to a small country church that we went our whole lives, and it was really great. We learned about the Word of God there and was actually really blessed that we were early in life introduced to the Lord and seen Him work my entire life.
Yeah. So where did you go to high school?
High school, went to Stonewall Jackson in Quicksburg, Virginia. In the Shenandoah Valley. Go Generals.
I think that's the second one in a row we've had from there, right, Grayson?
Really?
I'm not sure. We had somebody recently that was up from that direction, but I'm...
Yeah, I think so.
Awesome.
We're
small,
on a roll.
Small town.
Small town, that's right. So you grew up there in elementary school, middle school, high school. So you heard about the Word of God. You learned, you built that foundation. Was it during those years that you accepted Jesus? Do you have like a moment? Some people do, some people don't. What?
Sure. So when I was five, I remember going to my mom and saying, "Mom, I think I want to be baptized." And I'm not even sure that I fully knew what that meant as a child.
But as fully as a child could understand, right?
Right, exactly. And so I remember I got baptized when I was 5 years old. And I still can tell you to this day what dress I was wearing. Like, I still remember what it looked like. And so that was, like, a really special memory. And so, but as I became an adult, I suddenly realized I think it means something different than what it meant when I was a child. That you know, oh, I just want to be baptized. I want to be in, you know. Yeah. And so when I started coming to church here at Church of the Nazarene, I quickly realized that my definition of being all in was a little bit different.
Yes.
And so I'm happy to say that my date, I have a date, which was not that long ago, actually, which was July 28th of 24, when I actually feel like God came into my life.
Wow.
Which was a really amazing experience.
Yeah. Wow. So was there anything in particular that happened?
Yeah. So take you back a couple years ago, so back in 2020, as you all know, we experienced quite a horrendous pandemic.
Yes.
And I worked on the front line at my local hospital, and it took a toll. And you started asking questions like, where's God? Where is he in all this? Like, I don't understand what he's doing. I'm watching death all around me. And it started to become really discouraging. And the voices from outside started to become louder than his.
Yeah.
And so a lot happened during those years. It wasn't just the pandemic. My family experienced great loss. I lost my uncle to COVID in the midst of it. And then a couple years later, I lost my grandmother. And then we've had a lot of loss. And then up until this past year, we lost our dog, which... we love our dog.
Yeah,
and then one of my very good friends took her life in May of 2024.
Wow.
And that's when things for me came to a head. Mm-hmm. It's like everything that had happened for the last few years had just really, and I think a lot of that is because I had stepped away from God in those years, so trying to control everything around me, hoping that if I just held on for dear life, that it would all be all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how'd that work for you?
It didn't work so well. It didn't work so well. So after that happened in May, I was sitting at my friend's funeral, and there was a pastor that was there, and he, at the very end of her funeral, asked a question. And he said, I want to ask each of you, do you have a date? And I didn't know where he was going with that. And I always thought, well, I'm saved. I got baptized when I was young. Like, I know who Jesus is. But he said, do you have a date? Do you have a date where you know God is mine? He is mine. And I squirmed in my chair. And I'm like, I am, right? It's the first time I ever questioned, like, uh-oh. And I squirmed a little. And so that was on a Friday. And I remember I told my husband, I said, we haven't been to church since 2021. We're going to church on Sunday. And I said, I'm not really sure why, but we're going Sunday. So we showed up and we kept coming. And I really was feeling God speak to me loudly, saying, you got to get right. You're not. And Pastor Billy preached a message about how he was 18 and was sitting in there and thinking he grew up in a small church and thought he was in. And I felt God very loudly say, do you have your date? Right there. And I knew. And I knew. And I felt it that moment. Like, I knew that day. I was like, okay, I've got to ask you. Like, I actually have to surrender my life and say, I'm done trying to control everything. And then after I gave, so that day I gave him my life, life fell apart. And then it got real messy. And I thought, I've given you my life. I don't understand. Why is this so much harder? What's happening? And I started having nightmares. I started having really bad negative thoughts. And I just didn't know what was happening. My husband and I were sitting one Saturday, and I just exploded on him. And was like, all these things have happened, and I don't understand. And I quickly realized something's kind of wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, so he encouraged me to seek professional, like, help and counseling. Mm-hmm. And so I did. I went and saw a counselor. I go to Journey Ministries, mm-hmm. which has been, if you need.
Shout out.
Yes. If you need any services, they are phenomenal. And so, yeah, it was really hard. And I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. Mm-hmm. From multiple things, not just one event. It was kind of a compiled. That's where my journey, it's the last few years have been really hard, but in that, my goodness, God has shown up. Yeah. He has shown up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's God's timing in everything. And sometimes we think, well, if we accept Jesus, everything will just be great, right?
I'm here to tell you, if you think that, think again. I read something not long ago, actually. It said, as you get closer to God, expect the devil to make you squirm.
Wow.
Oh, does he make
you
squirm?
If you're on target, you become a target.
That's exactly right. Yes. But he's been faithful. Like, while I felt like my life was falling apart, he was actually making it fall into place. Because he was breaking all of the pieces of me that needed to break.
Yeah, like when we hold on to things for so long and try to hold everything, and then you start to let go. What we've made don't work, right? Like,
no. It has cracks. It has lots of... It's not very strong. No.
But the beautiful thing is, if we give all of that, our broken vessel, so to speak, to the Lord... He brings healing, and he can shine through those broken places to bring hope to others, you know? Mm-hmm. And I see that. I know that you have a passion for awareness, suicide awareness. It comes through brokenness, you know? It comes through you wanting others not to have to go through what you went through with your friend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, God is faithful. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. I shall not want, like, but it looks different than maybe what we think it's going to.
Oh, yeah. It has looked so different. You know, I remember sitting, I've had many, you know, when I first started going, I'll never forget my first session with my counselor. Like, we didn't even get into anything. I just said, here's been the last several years. And she's like, wow, this is clear what the problem is. Like, this is obvious. And to me, I'm like, what do you mean this is obvious? Like, I feel like everything's a mess. She's like, we'll get there. Yeah. Just will take time.
Yeah.
Like, we'll get there. It'll just take time. But I remember sitting that weekend then. It was like opening Pandora's box. We looked at everything, and it was like, oh my goodness, close the box, close the box,
slam it shut.
Yeah, but you know, I sat on my floor in my closet the following Saturday. I was home by myself, and I just prayed for hours on that floor, and never felt more close to God in my life. And had he not put me in that, not that he put me there, but had he not allowed that to happen and to put me there, I'd never know what it felt like to feel his presence so close.
That's beautiful. Ever.
And it's easy for me to say that right now because I'm getting out of that. I'm more in the light and not the darkness. But boy, in that darkness, it's hard to praise him in those moments. Right. But it's what keeps you going.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, would you say since 2020 and COVID and loss of in so many different ways, did, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but did you become isolated?
Oh, yes. But it was not in a way you would think. Like, I have a great job and a career, and I was, like, at the top of my job what I'm doing and, you know, have friends. And it may seem like, wow, she's really connected. Meanwhile, on the inside, it felt like screaming. Like, I wasn't there. Like, I wasn't present.
Yeah,
I was there, sitting, but my mind, I wasn't there.
Physically, you were there.
Physically, I was there. Mentally, I was not there. Yeah. And there were lots of times where I can look back and think, there were so many joyous things happening around me, but I just couldn't.
I think that's one of the loneliest places in the world. It's the loneliest place to be is in a room full of people that don't know how bad you're hurting.
Yes. And if you're listening, one thing I will tell you is if you feel that way, tell someone, just one person. It doesn't have to be the world. And you don't have to tell them everything about it.
Yeah.
Just tell them, I'm in a tough place right now. Like, I just need support.
Yeah. Somebody you trust, somebody you.
Yeah. And, you know, I remember just me being able to have, you know, of course, I seek counsel, which was one of the best things I could have ever done. But also there were people that I trusted to be able to tell. And it lightened the load. I didn't feel like I had to carry it by myself anymore.
Yeah. And loneliness, the enemy can use that because he can tell us, well, nobody will understand, or, well, nobody will care, or whatever the lie
what
is.
What will people say?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. And I think it's especially hard if you're someone who you're outgoing. Right. You are portrayed as this very bubbly, happy person. Right. All the time. I'll be the first to tell you, did I ever think in my lifetime that I would ever be diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder? No, I did not. I always thought, I'm immune to that. I'm a happy person. I have a good life. You just, the second you think you're immune, brace yourself.
None of us are immune to those type of
what
things.
What is that? It's in 2 Corinthians. If you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall.
Yes.
Yeah. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Well, I don't know if it's the exact wording, but basically I'm thinking, based on what you said, I'm thinking don't get caught off guard, you know, because those are the times when we think we're okay. Those are the times when we're probably the most vulnerable.
Yes, yes. And not checking in with the Lord and being really staying close. And that, I think, has been my biggest lesson out of this entire thing is maintain closeness.
Right.
Don't let me get too far. Right.
Don't isolate from the Lord either. We're talking about not isolating from people, but we don't want to isolate from the Lord either. We don't want to push him away.
Right.
And I think when you were talking, Erica, talking about being in the dark places, like especially talking about after your friend taken her life, we can question God. God can take the why. Why did this happen? Or why was I diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder? He can take those whys. So we can take those to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall.
Yeah.
That is just a powerful, it's a powerful thought. You know, it's something that we don't always think about. You know, we just go along and think, hey, you know, we're doing pretty good. And
it's a powerful word.
It is. And it's pride goes before a fall. Yep. There's another scripture that's coming to my mind. Right. Like, there's that. There's another thing that I just wanted to share. So I think it's so important. In 2 Peter 2:4, and I've shared this on here before. It's probably not new to those listening, but I just feel like it's important to say it again. In 2 Peter 2:4, it says that God did not spare angels when they sinned. He sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness. And so, of course, we know that the devil and his angels are in darkness. They're in darkness. They are chained to darkness. Think about that. Yeah. And think about when we don't share those things that bring all kinds of shame, what will people say, no one will understand, all the things that he speaks into our mind and keeps us in the dark. Like he keeps us bound with him.
Yeah.
But when we speak our truth into the light of believers, of another believer, when we speak our words, it takes them out of the darkness and brings them into the light. And the enemy might not, he might not lose all of that power that he has over us, but he loses a lot of it because we've put it out there. We just say it, and there's freedom that comes with that. And the more we learn to do that, and the more we're able to say the things that we've been scared to share with people for fear of what they'll think or what they'll say or how they'll, you know, whatever. But when we find trusted people to share with and counseling, like someone that can actually take those things that you've held in here that have kept you in bondage, you put them with someone you trust, you put your words, you know, out there, and man, what God can do to bring healing. There's so much hope in that. Right. Because I know there are people listening and go, well, I could never share. And in Celebrate Recovery, people tell me, I can't believe how transparent you are. And I'm like, hey, I'd rather have the thoughts out here than in here just in my brain rolling around where, and because I want to help other people too.
Right. To normalize it, to make you feel like, I, you know, through this experience, it's been interesting the amount of people that, you know, I have friends and colleagues that know pieces, not the whole picture. But, you know, they've really said, those are things I struggle with often that I thought was normal, that I just thought, you know, I guess it's just me, like, you know, and it's like, well, so I think when we normalize it and make it not normal, but I think when we normalize it, it makes people feel less alone and less, because I don't care who you are. We all deal with something, whatever that may be. And I think just bringing that to the light really is a way. And if you have a story, tell someone, share it with them, because you don't know where that person might be. That just one thing you say, that this is what helped me, may be a light for them.
Right. Yeah. It's so we true. Never know what our a small gesture, something we don't even think of. But also, I think about when we had asked you to come share your testimony, you said you know, would really feel nervous and vulnerable coming to share. But you also said, but I know if I say no, that I wouldn't be obedient to God. And so I'm going to say yes.
Yeah. Well, there's a story with that. So when it's funny, I was, I'm currently doing too with counseling. I'm doing something that's called Saraset, which is a type of brain treatment and therapy. If you're interested, look into it. It's pretty awesome. But that is working really well. I was praying on my way to one of my sessions, and I heard Pastor Kevin say one day, stop praying petty prayers. Stop saying, okay, Lord, well, if it's your will, if this is what, and I was like, you know what? No, I'm going to tell him, Lord, today we are healing.
Oh, there you go.
And speak it. And, and you know what? It was my best session I've had. And I think it was a moment of surrender.
Yeah.
And I told him, if you, Lord, get me out of this darkness, I will shout my testimony. Give me a way to tell it. And then a week later, I got your email. And I went, okay, loud and clear. So I was like, okay, I have to. Yeah.
Yeah. The Lord knows. Like he knows. In Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And we live in a world where there is pain, where there are pandemics, and where there are people that don't have enough hope to make it another second. You know, I mean, these things are real. We live in a world that where sin abound, you know, it's, but we also know that if we give all of our pain, all of the things, surrender, like you're talking about, and speak life over ourselves and off over other people, God can use all of it for his glory.
Yes.
And our mess can become a message. I think about our mission statement. We've been transformed by God to bring hope to others through Christ. But we can't white knuckle it, hold on to it, control it. God can't do anything with a closed fist.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And so it's just beautiful to hear your story of really this unfolding for you. And really it unfolds from a place of surrender.
Yeah. because truly they're, you know, looking back, I used to hear people say, just let go. What does that even mean?
Let go and let God.
What does that mean? Okay, can you show me what that looks like? Because I don't understand that. But I understand. But now I understand. I understand what that means. It means just truly, Lord, you take it. I'm not gonna keep trying to make decisions to control the situation. Every little thing.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do this because then this will happen. You're still trying to control it. Stop. Just live. And let him lead you. It's really hard. It is not easy. And there's still moments where I feel myself going, can I have this thing? No, you can't. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's true. It's true. And it's really hard to really grasp what that looks like to let go.
Until you've experienced it.
Right.
It's an experience. It's not something I can tell you how to do. It's something you have to feel in your heart.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
And, you know, it really comes to a place where we find ourselves sometimes in these places that we've got here and we've gotten ourselves here, but we can't get ourselves out.
Right.
Yes. And it's a place of desperation. Mm-hmm. It's a place of grief and sadness, like all the things that come together. It could be consequences from our actions. It could just be a pandemic and, you know, there's a myriad of reasons we find ourselves there. But the answer is the same for every person.
Yes, it is.
Jesus is the only answer. And that sounds like the
cliche
answer, but it's true.
No, it is true. And I think that's the good news, is that we don't have to continue to do it alone.
Right.
We don't have to continue to carry all the difficult things that we've experienced. And I think there is a deep healing that you experience when you just let him have those things and stop trying to control. There is an overwhelming peace that you feel that you're like, okay, all right.
Cast your cares, right?
Yeah. I mean, we look around the world right now. Look at all the things that have happened the past week. Mm. It's been devastating.
Yeah.
And I know there's been a lot of people who've really struggled with it. And, you know, we have personal people that we know.
Yeah,
right. And, but, you know, when you actually say, I don't understand these things, but it's not my job to.
Right.
Yeah.
There's peace in that. I don't have to understand it. It's not my job.
Right. Do I believe God is sovereign?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And, yeah, this is terrible. You know, things that we've experienced, things that have happened that are close to families that are a part of our family, and we don't understand it, but we have to believe.
Right.
That
He is a good, good father.
He is a good, good father, that he's closer to us than our circumstances. I think about Jesus when Lazarus died and Mary and Martha were so upset and he wept. I picture that in my mind often when I'm with people that have lost, that Jesus is weeping.
Right.
You know, he cares so much. And, you know, everybody wants to blame God for everything. Could I just say that?
Yeah. Just say it. Yeah. I've been there. I know what that feels like.
Yeah.
I know
Talk
what it means.
Talk about that.
Yeah. I know what that feels like. I mean, there was a time where, you know, when my uncle passed away from COVID, I was like, I have been here taking care of all these other people's family members, getting them back to health, helping them. And you take mine? How dare you? Like, I remember feeling so angry about it, and I carried that too long. But, you know, it wasn't my job to know why, and I have a piece about it that maybe he wouldn't have been as well had he lived, you know? It's just like, it's not my job to know, and it's not God's fault. We live in a broken world. He's not doing things.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true, and I'm just so grateful that you are finding healing. And I keep this picture keeps coming up in my mind's eye. And I'm pretty sure it was the first Sunday that you all were back.
Mm.
It may have been the second, but I think it was the first Sunday. You all walk into the sanctuary. I don't even know if you got to your seats. And somebody falls down and
passes out.
And cuts their head open.
Yes.
Gash.
Yes. It was the third Sunday.
It was the third Sunday. I knew it was early on.
It was the third Sunday. Yes.
And I just remember, like, before you all weren't here, you know, before 2020, you were here. You were part of our health and safety team.
Yeah.
And I just remember that Sunday, you went into nurse mode. And I watched Cullen just take off and run for the first aid bag. And thank goodness it was where it was when he left here.
Yeah. He still knew where it was. Yeah.
And I don't know. There was something about you all. I don't know what would have happened to them. I mean, we took care of it. But you all just jumped right back in. Mm-hmm. You know, like what you're created to do. You just did it.
Yeah.
I know the gentleman was really grateful that you showed up. And I don't know. Just things like that that happen.
Yeah.
How did that feel?
Honestly, Cullen and I actually said, well, he fell in our, we had just sat down actually. And I was like, well, he literally fell right where we were sitting. Okay. All right, Lord. need to say no more. And at that point, we had just started coming back. Like, and there was, I will say, I'll be really vulnerable here. Yeah. There was embarrassment about us coming back to church. There was this shame of, oh my gosh, we haven't been here. People are going to be like, well, what happened that they're coming back? You know, like, oh my goodness. And there was something, but I think God can use our really, again, beauty from ashes.
Yes.
Beauty from ashes. He takes the most ugliness and makes it so beautiful.
Right.
And so, you know, I remember going, oh man, the thought of having to go in here, but not a person from this church ever made us feel that way.
Well,
not a person.
The enemy would make you think right. It was going to be judgment.
He did. And he used that for months. Actually, he used that for years to keep us away. Well, it's been too long now. We can't go back. We can't possibly.
Mm. And that's what the enemy tries to tell us.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is going to help some people listening today. And it's not just about church. It's about other things. It's about friendships.
Right.
That we haven't called someone for so many years and, well, we can't now.
Yeah. It's been too long.
You know, a family member that we haven't talked to. And, you know, God, as he prepares our hearts for things, he prepares the other people's hearts for it, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's something somebody's done and they're like, well, God will never forgive me for this or whatever it is, you know, whatever the lie is. Yeah. You know, one time on a men's retreat, I remember Brian Charette saying, think of one word that God would use to describe you. And if it's negative, it's not from the Lord.
Wow. Mm, that's powerful.
Yeah.
So I feel like we just, in kind of wrapping up, is there, if someone's listening today and they may be struggling with suicidal thoughts, or if there's someone listening that has a loved one that is trying to figure out how to navigate this with someone that they love, what would you say to them?
Mm. Oh, that's a tough one. What I would say is if it's someone who's struggling with those thoughts, don't be afraid to tell someone because they're more normal than you actually think. More people experience that than you actually realize. Yeah. And it's not even, sometimes it can be a warning sign for us to say,
yes.
We need to seek help.
To check.
Yeah. It's an alarm system. Mm-hmm. It is. And so I would tell you, don't think that those thoughts about you are true. Mm-hmm. They're not. They actually have nothing to do with you at all. Mm-hmm. They have everything to do with there's something that's alarming you that I need to get right. Mm-hmm. There's something. And if you're sitting here and you're thinking, I'm right with God, he knows who I am and I'm still experiencing that, that's okay. Talk about it.
Yeah.
That is okay. Because to have those thoughts is not, oh my goodness, no, everyone's going to think I'm a loon. You're not a loon.
Right.
So many people have them that you don't realize.
Yeah.
And if you're a family member and you're trying to help navigate, be patient and be kind. Don't rush it. Healing takes time. It's slow. It's a very slow process. And try to help them in any way you can. You know, obviously, one of the best things my husband ever said is, I think you need professional help. I don't think I'm what you need. I think you're right. speak up, because that was alarming. That to me was like, oh, yeah, duh. So speak up.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid of what they might say. They might tell you. It might be a wake-up call. Mm-hmm. But just be gentle. Mm-hmm. Be like Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's a good word.
Yeah.
Very good word.
Yeah. Well, Erica, thank you for joining us on today's broadcast of Hope Talks. It's been great to have you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as you've heard Erica Biller's testimony today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.